The news of the fall of Jerusalem shook Europe. According to legend, Pope Urban III died upon hearing the news. Nevertheless, modern scholars question the truth of this story. Still, for the Knights of Europe, it meant only one thing. They would have to embark on the Third Crusade. Three of the most powerful monarchs in Europe at the time agreed to take part in this campaign. The Holy Roman Emperor Frederick I Barbarossa, King Philip II Augustus of France, and King Henry II Plantagenet of England. Frederick Barbarossa was 65 years old at the time. He had already earned a reputation as a talented commander. Due to political conflicts with the papal throne, Barbarossa was in no rush to join the crusade. But in the spring of 1188, at the Imperial Diet in Mainz, he reconciled with papal representatives and announced the preparations for the crusade. And of course, the collection of taxes to fund it. To prepare for the crusade, Philip II and Henry II were forced to reconcile. They also began gathering funds and making preparations. Among other measures, they introduced a new tax known as the Saladin Tithe. Yet, peace between the two kings did not last long. By the fall of 1188, the first skirmishes had already begun. An attempt at negotiations failed. Philip II supported Henry's son, Richard the Lionheart, who led a rebellion. In the summer of 1189, Henry II died. So the English contingent in the crusade was led by Richard I. Having gathered his troops, Frederick Barbarossa was the first to set out. Contemporary chroniclers estimated his army at 100,000 soldiers, but modern historians consider that number exaggerated, reducing it to about 15,000, of whom approximately 3,000 were mounted knights. Frederick, as a skilled military leader, had arranged free passage through the lands his army would cross. Only with the envoys of the Byzantine emperor were all matters not resolved. This would later cause many problems. Separately, around 1,000 German crusaders, mostly from the northern parts of the empire, as well as volunteers from Denmark, set out by sea. On their way, they took part in the Reconquista. In Palestine, they formed the monastic Teutonic Order. In Hungary, Frederick met with the local king and convinced him to join the crusade. Bela III provided 2,000 troops and placed them under the command of his younger brother, Geza, whom he had imprisoned until 1189, suspecting him of plotting against him. In Serbia, the imperial forces caught up with the contingents from Burgundy and Lorraine, who brought with them an additional 1,000 mounted knights. In the city of Niš, Frederick met with the local ruler, Grand Prince of Serbia Stefan Nemanja. Formerly a vassal of Byzantium, Stefan aspired to be an independent policy. He offered Frederick an alliance against the Byzantines. The German emperor declined. Even so, rumors of such a proposal reached Constantinople. This only further complicated the already tense negotiations between the Germans and the Byzantines. Similar rumors reached the Bulgarian Tsar Peter II Osin, who had recently won independence for Bulgaria from Byzantium. He too offered an alliance against the Byzantines to the German ruler, and he too was refused. Meanwhile, Emperor Isaac Angelos sent his troops to meet the crusaders. The plan was for them to escort and ensure the army's passage through imperial territory. Instead, the Byzantines engaged in battle with the Germans and were defeated. The negotiations between Frederick Barbarossa and Isaac Angelos came to a standstill. Soon after, the crusaders captured Adrianople and waited for the promised Byzantine fleet to ferry them to Asia Minor. Nonetheless, Constantinople delayed fulfilling its promise, demanding hostages as a guarantee. Anticipating an imminent war with Byzantium, the Hungarian king recalled his troops from the campaign. Their commander, Prince Geza, fled to Byzantium. In the winter of 1190, Isaac Angelos was informed that Frederick, allegedly in alliance with the Serbs and Bulgarians, was planning to storm Constantinople. Without hesitation, the Byzantine ruler agreed to transport the crusaders. In the spring of that same year, Frederick's forces were already in Asia Minor and marching toward the Seljuk Sultanate of Rum. With the local ruler, Sultan Kulij Arslan II, the emperor also signed an agreement for safe passage through his lands, as they shared a common enemy, Saladin. Nevertheless, a civil war was raging in the Sultanate of Rum, and various beys and shehzades roamed through Asia Minor. They did not obey the Sultan's commands. Along the entire route, they attacked the Crusader column. As a result, the knights were forced to march in full armor under the scorching sun. In May, a local shehzade, Kai Khusro, attacked the vanguard of the Crusaders near Akshehir. There, he faced Prince Frederick of Swabia, son of Frederick I Barbarossa. The Crusaders were prepared for the battle and easily repelled the Turks' assault, driving them back. At the walls of Konya, Frederick Barbarossa engaged another shehzade, Kutub al-Din, who controlled the capital of the Sultanate. Thanks to their superiority in heavy cavalry, the Crusaders, led by the emperor himself, launched a swift and crushing assault. Meanwhile, his son captured the enemy capital. In Konya, the Crusaders replenished their horses and supplies, then headed for Cilician Armenia. While crossing the mountain river Salev, Emperor Frederick Barbarossa drowned. After this, most of his army decided to return home. The rest, led by Prince Frederick of Swabia, continued the campaign. Unlike the Germans, the English and French set out on their campaign by sea. The English king, Richard I the Lionheart, had dreamed of becoming a wandering knight in his youth, but following the death of his elder brother, he became the heir to the throne. Even then, he had a reputation as a brave warrior who strictly adhered to the knightly code. He was also a talented commander, having repeatedly defeated his own father's forces. Medieval chroniclers estimated Richard's army at 50,000 men. Modern historians have reduced this number to about 17,000, of whom approximately 3,000 were mounted knights. This army also included 3,000 Welsh volunteers. Richard spent around £150,000 sterling preparing for the campaign, including the purchase of superior armor for his soldiers. The French king, Philip II Augustus, successfully continued his father's policy of centralizing the kingdom. He also skillfully handled internal feudal disputes within his realm. For the crusade, he assembled a smaller force than the English, 5,000 infantry and 2,000 mounted knights. Philip II was in no hurry to commit all his troops to the campaign, as he had other plans. Although the English troops had departed from England, the king himself, in the spring of 1190, traveled overland with his personal guard. Richard caught up with Philip, and they agreed to divide equally all the spoils of war taken from the Muslims. Shortly after, Richard set off for Marseille, where he was to meet his army. Meanwhile, Philip went to Genoa, where he hired a fleet for the journey. Richard never received his fleet on time, as it was delayed while looting Lisbon, which was already under Christian control. Thus, the English king traveled through Italy, intending to meet his forces near Messina. Philip II awaited the English forces in Sicily. The island was experiencing a complicated political situation. After the local king's death, power had been seized by his illegitimate half-brother, Tancred, Count of Lecce. He had also imprisoned his brother's wife, Joanna of England, Richard's sister. Therefore, when Richard arrived in Messina in the autumn, he presented his demands to the Sicilian king. But while negotiations were ongoing, English soldiers clashed with local residents. Richard interpreted this as a signal for war and stormed and captured Messina. Realizing he lacked the strength for war, Tancred agreed to release the English king's sister and paid compensation. In Sicily, tensions began to rise between Richard and Philip due to the planned marriage between Richard and the French king's sister. But Richard, citing rumors of illegitimate affairs involving the French princess, was in no hurry to marry. When Philip learned that a new bride, Berengaria of Navarre, was on her way to Sicily, he agreed to break off the engagement with his sister. He accepted compensation and departed with his forces for Palestine. Richard continued his journey only a month later, once his fiancée arrived. Along the way, part of the English fleet was caught in a storm and driven ashore in Cyprus. There, the English fleet were captured by the local self-proclaimed emperor, Isaac Komnenos. A bit later, he also attempted to capture Richard's sister and bride to demand a ransom. In response, the English king attacked and captured Limassol. There, he established English rule, held his wedding with Berengaria, and by the end of spring had conquered the island. Shortly afterward, he sold it to the Knights Templar for 100,000 bezants. The Templars, already by the following year, sold Cyprus to the former king of Jerusalem, Guy de Lusignan, for just 40,000 bezants. Conrad of Montferrat was a talented military commander. He had gained fame in battles in Italy and as a mercenary in Byzantine service. In the summer of 1187, he heard of the Muslim campaign toward Jerusalem and sailed to Palestine. At that time, Salah al-Din, known in Europe as Saladin, had defeated the Jerusalemite forces at Hattin and began capturing towns and fortresses. Saladin distinguished himself through strategy. He would release Christians from captured cities if they surrendered. Some scholars believe the Sultan was motivated by dignity. Others argue it was a tactical advantage. Townspeople more willingly surrendered, knowing they wouldn't be harmed. As he passed the city of Tyre, Saladin made a deal with the local commander, Reginald of Sidon, for the city's surrender. But at that moment, Conrad of Montferrat arrived in Tyre. He drove out Reginald, assumed command, and began preparing for a siege. Saladin, then en route to Jerusalem, chose to ignore Tyre. This decision would later cause serious problems for his army. Meanwhile, Muslim forces had captured Acre, Gaza, and Ascalon. The Templar Grand Master, Gerard de Ridefort, earned a bad reputation there. While in Saladin's captivity, he persuaded Gaza's garrison to surrender in exchange for his freedom. Later, political opponents accused him of secretly converting to Islam. In October 1187, after a short siege, Saladin captured Jerusalem. This time, he released the townspeople for a ransom. The Muslim army then moved on to Tyre, which was already fortified. Tyre was attacked by land and sea. Despite this, Conrad of Montferrat successfully repelled the assaults. He even managed to defeat the Muslim fleet, saving the city from total blockade. Saladin attempted to trade the city for Conrad's father, captured at the Battle of Hattin. Conrad refused, and the Sultan lifted the siege and soon released William. Saladin then moved on to the Christian fortresses in the mountains of Lebanon. There, he once again encountered Reginald of Sidon. Reginald again agreed to surrender the castle, but delayed negotiations and continued defending. When Reginald was taken prisoner, Saladin forced him to order his men to surrender. Reginald gave the command in Arabic. Then he issued another order in French, telling them to keep defending. This delayed Saladin's army in Lebanon until the autumn of the following year. Since Tyre could not be taken by force, Saladin resorted to trickery. He released King Guy of Lusignan of Jerusalem from captivity, hoping Guy would assume command of Tyre and make it easier to capture. But Conrad refused even to let Lusignan into the city, stating he had forfeited his crown after losing the Battle of Hattin. Guy of Lusignan and his supporters stayed in Tripoli for a time. Soon, receiving reinforcements from Sicily, he marched to recapture Acre from the Muslims in 1189. Later, more Crusader forces joined him, including Conrad of Montferrat with Tyre's army. Even here, Conrad refused to recognize Guy's leadership. The siege was difficult. The Crusaders lacked sufficient troops. The fleet failed to enforce the blockade, allowing supplies and reinforcements to reach the city with ease. Upon learning of the siege, Saladin left part of his army in the Lebanese mountains and marched to Acre. His attack on the Crusader camp failed when Conrad of Montferrat defeated Saladin's right flank. However, the Crusaders' counterattack, led by the Templar Grand Master, also failed. Saladin's forces took advantage when the knights began looting the Muslim camp. In that battle, Gerard de Ridefort was killed. The situation was dire. The Crusaders were besieging Acre, while Saladin was besieging them. Neither side had enough strength for decisive action. Several poorly organized assaults by both sides failed. And for the rest of the year 1190, both focused on gathering reinforcements. Advance units of the Crusaders began to arrive. They brought a few siege engines. News also came that Frederick Barbarossa was marching through Asia Minor. Saladin also increased his army at the time. His elite troops, who had captured the mountain fortresses in Lebanon, joined him. Additionally, ships arrived from Egypt with reinforcements and evacuated the exhausted garrison. But at that moment, a malaria epidemic broke out at Acre's walls. Fearing it would weaken his army before the Europeans arrived, Saladin moved his forces away from the city. During the epidemic, Queen Sibylla of Jerusalem died. This weakened Guy of Lusignan's position, as his claim to the crown was through marriage. A supporter of Conrad of Montferrat, Balian of Ibelin, the hero of Jerusalem's defense, quickly arranged the divorce of his stepdaughter Isabella, who was also the sister of the King of Jerusalem. She soon married Conrad, giving him a legitimate claim to the throne. In the autumn of 1190, Frederick of Swabia arrived at Acre with German crusaders. Along the way, due to desertion and malaria, his army was significantly reduced. He brought only 2,000 men to Acre. In January 1191, the German prince himself died of malaria. His troops were then led by Duke Leopold V of Austria. In April 1191, French King Philip II Augustus arrived at Acre with his troops. In June, Richard joined him. Illness hindered the Crusaders' swift actions. Malaria was followed by scurvy. Both the French and English kings fell ill. Richard continued to command his forces on the battlefield. Even while on a stretcher, he shot at the enemy with a crossbow. Meanwhile, Saladin conducted negotiations with the Crusaders. Richard the Lionheart distinguished himself here as well. He followed the code of chivalry and showed respect to his enemies. During the campaign, he met with Muslim emirs, hosted banquets and tournaments, and exchanged letters with Saladin. Their correspondence also touched on politics and religion. Saladin also showed nobility. He sent gifts to Richard while he was ill. According to legend, the Sultan even sent his own physician to treat the king. Philip Augustus accused Richard of befriending the Muslims because of this. By July, negotiations ended, and the Crusaders resumed the siege with new forces. The English fleet defeated the Muslims at sea and completely blockaded the city. Assaults from land began. On July 3rd, the Crusaders breached the city walls. According to legend, Richard ordered beehives to be catapulted into the city, distracting the defenders and allowing the walls to be taken. In reality, a breach appeared in the walls through which the Crusaders entered. The Muslim troops, entrenched in the citadel, entered negotiations for surrender. Talks concluded 10 days later. When the Crusaders entered the city, the Austrian Duke ordered his banner to be raised alongside the flags of the kings of England and France. Richard was outraged. He considered it inappropriate for a duke's banner to fly alongside royal ones. He ordered Leopold's banner thrown down. In response, Leopold V withdrew from the crusade and returned to Austria. According to the terms of Acre's surrender, Saladin was to pay 200,000 dinars in gold and return the relic of the True Cross and prisoners captured at Hattin and in Jerusalem. In exchange, the Crusaders were to release 3,000 prisoners from Acre. But negotiations dragged on, and after a month, Richard ordered the execution of the Muslim captives. In retaliation, Saladin had his Christian prisoners executed. The war continued. The English king also had tense relations with Conrad of Montferrat. During the Crusade, Richard supported Guy of Lusignan for two reasons: his legitimate coronation as King of Jerusalem and his origins from the House of La Marche, vassals of Richard. Although the rival claimants to the throne reached a formal reconciliation, everyone understood the conflict would soon reignite. Richard also clashed with Philip Augustus. The French king claimed Cyprus, which Richard had conquered, referring to an agreement to divide spoils. Richard refused, stating that the agreement applied only to Muslim loot and did not cover Byzantine territories. Philip faced another issue. During the Siege of Acre, Count Philip of Flanders died without a legal heir. This threatened to spark a new wave of feudal conflicts over his lands, something Philip sought to avoid. He also had another reason to return home. While Richard and his army were in Palestine, his continental holdings were left unprotected, thus leaving 5,000 troops, mostly infantry, under the command of Duke Hugh III of Burgundy. Philip sailed back to Europe, where he attacked Richard's lands and began funding his younger brother, John Lackland, in his attempt to seize the English crown. Richard I the Lionheart now became commander-in-chief of the Crusader army. To improve logistics, he decided to seize Jaffa, another coastal port. He moved south, with Saladin following. Along the way, Muslim troops harassed the Crusaders with small skirmishes. Meanwhile, Saladin, with most of his 25,000-strong army, overtook Richard and stopped in a forest near Arsuf, an ideal place to set up an ambush. Saladin planned to use an old tactic familiar to the region: strike with small forces, fake a retreat, and lure the enemy into a trap. When the Crusaders appeared on the horizon, his troops executed the plan. Even Saladin took part in the mock attack. Nonetheless, Richard was aware of this tactic and ordered his army to keep marching despite the enemy attacks. For a time, the Crusaders obeyed, but soon the Hospitaller Knights broke formation and charged. Other knights followed, and they eventually fell into Saladin's trap and nearly lost the battle. They were saved only by the timely arrival of English reinforcements, who repelled the Muslims. Richard regrouped the Crusaders, launched a counterattack, and crushed the left flank of Saladin's army. The Sultan ordered a retreat. Yet, part of his army continued to harass the Crusaders with minor skirmishes, while the rest moved south, demolishing fortresses to keep them out of European hands. When Richard reached Jaffa, he began rebuilding its fortifications. Meanwhile, Saladin proposed peace talks. Richard agreed and suggested a plan. Saladin's brother would marry Richard's sister, and the Kingdom of Jerusalem would become their shared domain. But the Sultan rejected the offer, and the war continued. In the winter, Richard learned that Saladin had disbanded his army and, delighted, quickly marched toward Jerusalem. But en route, the Crusaders were caught by the rainy season. In January, just 12 miles from Jerusalem at Beit Nuba, the exhausted army turned back to Ascalon, which was being rebuilt at the time. In the spring, news arrived from Europe. Philip II Augustus had backed John's bid for the English throne and invaded Richard's lands. Richard returned to Acre to convene a council of Jerusalem's barons and announce his departure. A new commander had to be chosen. The barons unanimously supported Conrad of Montferrat, who became the new king of Jerusalem. 4 days later, Conrad was assassinated. To this day, the identity of the person behind the murder remains unclear. Several theories exist. Conrad's supporters refused to accept Guy of Lusignan as king and elected Count Henry II of Champagne as the new ruler. Richard remained in Palestine and planned an invasion of Egypt to force Saladin to leave Palestine. He quickly captured Dahrum, opening a route to Egypt. the French commander, Duke Hugh III of Burgundy, opposed this plan. He insisted on waging war solely for Jerusalem. In June, the Crusaders again marched toward the Holy City. This time, Richard refused overall command. The army was led by King Henry I of Jerusalem, although Richard himself also took part. The Crusaders stopped near their target at Beit Nuba, while the Muslim army camped at Qalandia. Since Saladin's army was nearby, besieging Jerusalem was dangerous. The Crusaders risked being attacked from the rear. Even if they managed to take the city, they could be besieged themselves. In July, the Crusaders retreated. Richard then decided to divert Saladin's attention and lure his army north. He assembled a fleet and pretended to prepare an assault on Beirut, but Saladin acted first and attacked Jaffa. Muslim forces quickly seized the city. The small garrison that had taken refuge in the citadel agreed to surrender on the conditions that they could leave freely. Jaffa was now in Saladin's hands. Nonetheless, an unexpected skirmish broke out as the knights were leaving the citadel, which escalated into a full battle. The Crusaders returned to the citadel and began preparing for a siege. Angered that his orders had been disobeyed, and thus the city was lost for him, Saladin had those responsible executed. A few days later, Richard the Lionheart arrived at Jaffa by sea. He led an assault on the city and quickly retook its streets. Saladin withdrew behind the city walls, regrouping his troops and preparing for battle. Even so, both armies were so exhausted that neither rushed to fight. The following days were marked by minor skirmishes and exchanges between archers and crossbowmen. Richard himself rode to the Muslim camp, challenging their warriors to duels. There is another legend about this battle. When Richard lost his horse in combat and continued fighting on foot, Saladin gifted the English king his own steed. Various versions of the tale offer different endings. The horse either ran off, refusing a new master, or Richard gave it to a low-ranking knight, or the king continued fighting on horseback. Eventually, Saladin launched an attack, but the Crusaders repelled it. Meanwhile, his attempt to retake Jaffa failed. It was defended by Genoese mercenaries. It became clear the Muslims had lost the battle, and Saladin ordered a retreat. With Saladin's withdrawal, the time came for peace negotiations. Richard was once again ill and had long planned to return to Europe. During the talks, he threatened to spend the winter in Palestine and resume the war next year. Saladin, aware that Richard risked losing his English crown, advised him to go home. In September, they agreed to a truce lasting 3 years and 3 months. Christian pilgrims were allowed to visit Jerusalem. The Crusaders received several coastal cities, from Tyre to Ascalon. Richard had to dismantle Ascalon's fortifications. The county of Tripoli and the Principality of Antioch remained within their current borders. The treaty, known as the Treaty of Jaffa, was signed in nearby Ramla. A month later, Richard departed for Europe, where imprisonment in Germany and war with France awaited him. Half a year later, Saladin died. His realm plunged into internal strife and succession wars. Meanwhile, Europe was already preparing the next crusade, still hoping to reclaim Jerusalem.